Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host, Joe Truini. And yes, you're at the right place for the most practical, most realistic, and most current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. We've got a lot of great information lined up for you to share with you. It's summertime, and everybody is starting to think about a lot of the projects around their home. We're going to be talking about the importance of weep holes on a brick home. You know, so many people are painting their brick homes these days, and they see that little crack, and they want to, you know, maybe make it look a little better, and they fill it in. No. We'll tell you why. You need to leave those weep holes open and what they're there for. Also, speaking of gaps, when is a gap too big to caulk? Sometimes around windows and doors, you have some pretty sizable cracks. When can you use caulk? When do you need to think about something else? We'll talk about that. Also, from time to time, we get this question about removing paint from bricks. Bricks are a fairly porous material, and once that paint gets on it, it can be very difficult to remove it. How's the best way to do it without damaging the brick? We'll share that with you in just a little bit. A lot of emails coming up, and of course, my buddy Joe always has a great simple solution.
Well, Danny, it is summertime, so people might have pool noodles laying around. So once again, we have a pool noodle simple solution, and this has to do with using it to insulate pipes.
Well, I hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. Last week, we certainly spent a lot of time in the pool with a lot of pool noodles, and I find myself chuckling now. Every time I see a pool noodle, I just chuckle because I can think of about a dozen things that it can be used for. And also, I got to say, I really appreciate people taking a little bit of time to write me a little note on my birthday last weekend. Happened to coincide with Memorial Day, and for you to take a little bit of your time to wish me a happy birthday, I appreciate that, and it was a great birthday. I'm ready to move on to this next trip around the sun, as they say, and it worked out very, very well.
Well, I'm glad you had nice weather down in South Alabama, and you had the whole family around. So, yeah, when your birthday falls right on the holiday, Memorial Day, everybody's celebrating Danny's birthday.
That's what it felt like. It was good. But speaking of summertime, Joe, I'm sure you already have your list ready. You're already starting to plan things and so forth. And I think a lot of people are doing the same things with a lot of projects around the house. What are some of the things that are on your list?
Well, I recently had installed gutter guards, and now I discovered that the maple trees are dispersing, I guess would be the word, these little tiny seed pods. Now they're all covering my gutter guards, which I guess is better than being in the gutter. So I have to blow those out. And then I'm going to go back to window installing. This is a great time of year to install windows.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think I had mentioned I've been replacing all the windows. We built our home in 93. And little by little, I've been replacing all the windows, two or three at a time. And I'm down to the final two. So I'm going to definitely get to that before the weather turns. Then, of course, there's always stuff to do on the lawn, right? I live in Western Connecticut, and we have pretty rough winters, so the lawn's a mess. And now that the weather is consistently warm, I think I'm going to be spending some time out taking care of that lawn.
Well, you know, talking about that window replacement, we get a lot of questions, of course, about window replacement. Great project to do around your home. But the way you're doing it is something that we suggest a lot is to try to take every window out of your house and replace all of the windows is just too much for most people. And skill level as well as time commitment. So doing a couple at a time, making sure you're using a good national brand that will be available, and then just replace whatever you have. Take one out, do it right, put the other one in, touch up the paint, do all the caulking, and you've gotten that one done. You won't have to ever do it again. So that's always a good way to do not only window replacement, but there's a lot of projects around the house that doing it a step at a time like that makes it a little more manageable.
Yeah, and I'm really fortunate that the window size I have in this house happens to be a stock size of Anderson window that Home Depot carries. I mean, it's just, what are the chances? Anderson makes, I don't know, like 200 different window sizes. Mm-hmm. And this one particular size happens to be in stock at all times at Home Depot. So I can just go buy one or two whenever I need them. And I also just replaced the storm door. I bought a storm door that has the screen built into it, which, you know, they've had them out for a while, but my old storm door did not have that. And what a nice thing, not to have to replace the screen and get the glass out and the screen in and store the screen without getting it ripped. Here it's built in, so it just comes down like a shade, which is great. I'm sure most people probably have that by now, but it's funny how there's just a little thing like that, a little feature like that. I love using it. Every time I go out and I lower that screen, I think, thank goodness for this window and this door. I love that so much.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I'm going to tackle this summer has nothing to do with summer other than just having better weather to work on it. You know, when I built my house, I wasn't sure what I was going to do with a fairly long driveway, and I put in gravel. And I learned a lot about gravel when you think about it. First of all, my wife wanted pea gravel, little, small, round, little, nice gravel that I admit looks very, very good.
But, and you can walk on it in bare feet and cut up our feet.
But what I found out is because of its smooth nature, it will not compact. You just can't compact it. So what happens is you end up with grooves in it from the tires. It spills out over the retainage that you have around it, and it doesn't work. Now, you can get tiny, tiny rocks that aren't perfectly round or anything that has, you know, some fissures in it that will allow it to pack very well. That works well, but the smooth pea gravel had a lot of people, you know, recommending I wouldn't do that. So I got a size rock a little bit bigger than that. And just over the years, it just doesn't look very good. It has packed very, very well, which is going to make a great base for what I'm about to do and bite the bullet and put down a concrete driveway during on all this. And so I know it's going to cost a lot of money, but I probably will be able to get my guys to do all of the forming. And of course, we've got a lot of rocks to move out of there, which were expensive rocks, so I have a place to use those. And then I'll go with a concrete driveway and forget about it. I'm not going to do anymore. But what you have to think about anytime you're doing a driveway, sidewalk, things like that, it's so easy to forget to put some type of little piping under it, whether it's for drainage or more commonly to route water lines from one side of the sidewalk or driveway to the other, or landscape lights. Everybody loves landscape lights. And if you're, you know, down the road, you're going to install those, make sure you put a sufficient size piece of pipe under it, cap it on both sides, and then it's there if you need it. It's also a good idea to maybe make up a little map of where those things are. You know, a few years down the road, I'll remember. That's right at the curve.
You'll
there.
Never Let's remember. Well, You'll never man, remember.
Here I am digging up my grass trying to find those those pipes. But that's something that's something I've been putting off that I want to tackle that pretty soon.
The other thing, the reason you put a pipe under the driveway, and my brother-in-law just discovered why he should have done that, is they got a dog and they wanted to put up an invisible fence around the property, which is just, you know, the cable that you bury. Well, they had to dig up the driveway to put the cable in.
So
if you had the pipe there, you just snake it right underneath there, and the dog will hear that or feel that signal through the asphalt, if that's your concern. We have a gravel driveway, and I have a pipe that goes under it as a just to move seasonal water that ponds. And so I just ran the wire through the pipe, and you know the dog doesn't go anywhere near it. Yeah, so that's a good idea.
That's the way to do it. Another thing that I'm looking forward, that I'm very intrigued, talked to a very, very experienced arborist. About 6 or 7 months ago, I was worried about this large oak tree I have in the front of my house on the riverside, and it just didn't look very healthy compared to the other trees. Well, he came out, looked at it. 5 minutes later, he told me exactly what was wrong, that it was going through some stress, probably from all of the work that I did on the yard with you know, grading and things like that. And he says it won't survive without some type of treatment. And this you know, so I was so, well, what do you mean? How do you treat it? Well, I come in and I drill 24 holes around the base of it. And then I said, in the tree. He said, yes.
In the tree? Oh, I thought you meant in the soil around the tree.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. He said, it's actually in the tree. And then he pumps these chemicals in there. You know, nutrients and everything that it needs to kind of, you know, spur its growth. And he says has to do it 3 or 4 times. He has a little cap that he puts on it. And then after he finishes, he removes the cap. It grows back over it, and you don't even know it. Now, I spoke to a friend of mine down the road that had the same thing done. He says it's unbelievable. He said it took a few years. He said, but his oak tree looks better than any oak tree around. And it definitely, and even a little side benefit, it helps all of the grass all around because it all goes out through those roots and feeds the grass. So that'll be a pretty interesting little project.
I might call an arborist. I have him do that to me. I could use that.
I know. I thought about that.
I use all new growth myself.
Hey, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to talk about those funny little weep holes. We'll be right back.
At the Home Depot, we take Father's Day seriously. Why not get doing and give dad a gift card that gets him out of the house and into new projects? Because the dads who do the most deserve the most, whether he's into woodworking, yard work, or grilling up something for the family. A Home Depot gift card gives your dad the power to get everything he needs to keep doing the most. Shop today for a gift that powers dad at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Replacing your home's roof is a big deal, so it's not something you want to do more than once. That's why a quality metal roof makes so much sense. Metal roofs are stronger, more durable, and stand up to severe weather like hurricanes far better than traditional shingle roofs. They improve energy efficiency, lower maintenance, and come in a wide variety of styles and colors to fit any type of home. Learn more about how a quality metal roof can protect your home for a lifetime. Get your free Metal Roofing Alliance Buyer's Guide at metalroofing.com/todayshomeowner.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We're so proud to have the wonderful stations all over the country, over 360 stations currently airing the Today's Homeowner Radio, including this one that's been with us for quite a while in Boone, Iowa, KWBG AM 1590. A special hello to everybody in and around that wonderful state. Hadn't been there in many, many years. Would love to get back through there and a lot of pretty areas in Iowa. And we want to hear from you. Any question that you may have, any kind of challenge you might be having around your home, we make it as easy as it can be in order to reach out to us to get the answers or opinions that you might be looking for. If you'd like to send us an email, do so right now. todayshomeowner.com/ask, or you can pick up the phone and call us anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 800-946-4420. We're going to go right to the hotline right now. Nelson's on the line. Nelson, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house.
Yeah, I got a question. I've been told in reference to weep holes. I have a brick veneer home, and I have weep holes right and level with the crawl space vents. I recently encapsulated my crawl space, installed a dehumidifier, just to eliminate that humidity problem in my crawl space because my ducting is underneath. And I've been told don't cover the weep holes because the house has to breathe, cover the weep holes. And I did a little research and I saw that the proper way for a weep hole to work is that it has to have flashing so there's moisture, that there's condensation behind brick veneer or water drips behind that brick veneer. It's supposed to hit that flashing and go out the weep holes. However, I have no flashing, and what it appears to be, the weep holes go directly into the crawl space. So now I'm just wondering what exactly do I need, you know, should I cover the weep holes to prevent that excess of moisture from coming in, or should I just leave them open? That's my dilemma.
I'll tell you, I've never heard of any advice in covering the weep holes because you're really talking about two different sections of the home, and all of your crawl space area should be, for the most part, sealed off completely from your brick veneer, the cavity between the bricks and your framing and sheathing of your walls. There should be 3/4 to 1 inch spacing in there, and you might never see water coming out of a weep hole because it's not that much moisture normally that it's going to run out. It's normally just a ventilation, a way to get a little air in there to keep it from being a problem and to give it a place to escape if it does. So, if anything, I would take an old screwdriver and reach in there and scratch it out a little bit in case there's any excess mortar or any insects have built any nest in there or anything along those lines, which you see from time to time. But I certainly wouldn't close those up at all. I have seen people when they're painting their homes will close that up because there's a gap and they don't realize it and they end up with some mysterious smells and problems later on as a result of that mold and mildew forming between in that little cavity right there. So I would absolutely leave them open, and that shouldn't have anything to do with the encapsulation that you've done down below.
Okay, but let me ask you a question, okay? If condensation does build up in that cavity in there, and it drains down. It actually is draining down straight into the crawl space.
I'm not sure how that could do that physically, because, you know, on traditional platform construction where you have a wood subfloor, and I am assuming that you have a wood subfloor above your crawl space.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Well, theoretically, I don't know how that could possibly happen. I guess you could have your platform construction up higher and your bricks actually come down lower than that. But still, there should be sheathing behind it that would prevent any water introduction into the crawl space area of the home. Joe, do you have any other thoughts on this? Because I've never seen a situation where it might actually go under the house.
Yeah, Nelson, I agree with Danny here. I mean, we don't see the construction of your house, but it would be really unusual if you were to look through the weep holes and see the inside of your crawl space, because there should be sheathing behind that plywood, typically first house wrap of some sort, and then the plywood, and that would be up against the framing of the house, and then the crawl space is beyond that, you know. So I'm not sure how, as Danny said, I'm not sure how the weep holes and whether they're open or not would be affected by the crawl space. They definitely should not. If you take a wire and stick it through that weep hole and you go in your crawl space and see the end of the wire, there's something wrong with that house. I mean, because that should not be the case.
As a matter of fact, I took a hacksaw blade.
Okay.
And I put a weep hole, and sure enough, I got in the crawl space, and brightest daylight.
Is that right?
I'm not sure what the brick is up against. Just space. I'm not sure why there's space between the brick siding and the crawl space.
When I took the hacksaw blade, I went straight through, and obviously it hit the subflooring.
Right.
And I angled it down. I had to angle it down at least 45 degrees.
Yeah,
and that's when I could see the...
How
the
about hatch. That? Hmm.
Well, congratulations, Nelson. You've got a home that neither Danny nor I had ever seen before. I mean, maybe the brick is up high, like the lowest course of brick might be above the flooring, you know, like the floor deck of the first floor, which would be a little unusual, would actually be very unusual. But still, you'd think they'd have to be sheathing behind it. I've never seen brick siding, you know, veneer brick put up not against some kind of sheathing. I'm not sure what's holding it up.
There appears to be some sheathing. It comes down to the top of the subfloor, and then I see the plastic. There's a plastic sheath that's there.
Right.
But like I said, I angled the hacksaw blade down.
Right,
and
right.
Push it through, and sure enough, the blade comes all the way through into the crawl space. That was kind of odd to me.
Yeah. Well, even if that's the case, and I believe you, that's the case, then the condensation behind the brick would be the least of my concern, because water running down the brick could just get into the house. You know, the weep holes could be channeling water into the house instead of out of the house. I mean, it might be doing both, but on a heavy rain, the water could actually go into the house.
It's actually, from what I see now, it looks like it goes straight into the crawl space is what it does.
Right, into the crawl space, yeah. Well, either way, it shouldn't be doing that.
Well, I guess what I would say is, one of the things is, first of all, it's a very small amount of moisture, and you may not even notice it or affect your encapsulation process that you did down below. You may never even be affected by that at all. Or if you're able to get behind it and patch it in some way, whether it be with caulking or whatever, to make sure that the water goes out and not in, that may not be possible because of spacing and accessibility. But even if you got to the ones that you could, I don't really think it's going to create a problem overall. And, if water can get under the house, that means the dehumidification process there is pulling and affecting that as well. So I don't think it would ever be a real problem. You might want to keep your eye on it. You might want to patch what you can. But otherwise, I think your dehumidification downstairs underneath is going to overrule any of that moisture anyway.
Correct. True. Yes, sir. Okay. And then it's not going to really hurt if I leave those weep holes open then.
No.
No, I would definitely leave them open. Yeah, there's no advantage in that at all. The most I've seen anyone do is to maybe put a little, wire, real fine mesh wire in it if you have any problems with bugs. But if you're not having any problem with bugs getting in there, I would leave it as open as you can.
Okie dokie. I appreciate y'all's help.
Hey, our pleasure, Nelson. I appreciate you bringing that to our audience, that kind of a unique situation there. And congratulations on crawling around and doing all of that encapsulation yourself. That's pretty admirable right there. So I'm sure you don't want to go into that house any more than you have to at this point.
You're right.
Okay, well, take care, Nelson. Have a great week, and look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Goodbye.
Hey, you know, it is summertime. A lot of people are looking at different ways of preparing those wonderful meals outside. And how about a flat top grill and griddle? They're really popular. I'm going to tell you about a brand new one when we come back. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by FluidMaster. Find out more at shop.fluidmaster.com.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by the Home Depot. How doers get more done. You know, this is the time of the year when weekend dinner plans seem to always revolve around the grill, but that might limit your meal planning a little bit too much, so you'll love the new flat top grill griddle from Loco. It's a 26-inch, fully enclosed propane-powered griddle that turns your deck or patio into a five-star kitchen. Under the double-walled lid, there are 488 square inches of cooking space, heated by two burners beneath the griddle. But what really makes it cool is the smart temp thermostat control, which allows you to set the exact temperature you want each area of the griddle, allowing you to cook whatever you want at whatever temperature you want, from 250 degrees to 450 degrees. For more information on this Loco flat top grill griddle, log on to homedepot.com. I was not having a lot of luck on my grill here over the last few months. And
why is that?
Just something went well. I suspected, which was right. The thermostat was completely off. The little thermostat that I had on there, you know, the thermometer. No matter what I turned it down to, I turn it all the way down to where it's the lowest setting on it, even with one burner, and it would still say like 650 degrees. You know, so I got a new one. It took me approximately 90 seconds to change it out.
Now I have
it accurate like that. But is that those are the kind of things that you put up with. That's the way it is with lots of home improvement things. I'm going to get around to that. But then you do it. Okay, you order it. It's in, 2 days. It arrives at your doorstep.
Yeah.
You take two tools. You go out there. 90 seconds later, you go, okay, why didn't I do that
six months ago?
Why?
You're able to order that directly from the manufacturer, or is this like an aftermarket thing that just plugs right in?
Joe, you know how it works.
Is that a long story?
You know how it works around here. I just start complaining to Sharon, and suddenly it's 2 days later, it's on my doorstep. So
I'm not real sure.
It's Sharon.com is where I go. So yeah, that's all.
Sharon at Amazon.com.
But I'll tell you what, that truly, I mean, I'm always amazed, still amazed at how quickly you can get some things. Now, with the pandemic and everything we've gone over, and the supply and demand slowed that down a little bit maybe, but it is just amazing, which you have to be careful. Have to be a little careful on those spur of the moment buys, She has bought something, and I've gotten the package off the front porch.
Yeah.
And I go, "What is this?" She goes, "I can't remember." Oh, come on.
I'm ordering so many things, I have no idea.
Oh, I thought I canceled that order. Great. So anyway, hey, let's go to our email sack. We got a lot of emails. We'd love to get one from you. Todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came in from Roxanne in Missouri. The gap between my brick and my metal entry at our front door is too wide for caulk and has gotten wider since we moved here almost 4 years ago. How do I fill it in? How do I repair it properly? Now, the metal entry at our front door, I'm sure she means the metal threshold. down, right on the bottom there, and probably has a little brick, what we call a brick rowlock, under it. I've seen many of those that separate out a little bit. Normally, it's because the bricks were not cut long enough. A lot of times, they'll just, instead of cutting the bricks, which I always would rather do than see a brick mason with his trowel breaking that thing in half, it's tucked under the threshold, so what does it matter? Well, it does matter because that also offers a little bit of support to something that gets a lot of wear and tear with those big feet coming in and out, hitting on that threshold every time. You're going to bend it. You're going to cause some movement. So it's a lot better if those bricks are really tight in there, really secured well, and it supports your threshold and you won't have any gap in it. But if they're not done properly like that, not done under there enough, then you start walking on that threshold. Little at a time, there's going to be movement, or in this case, it could be some settling that's causing that to open up. But I think the real question is, when can you use caulk and when do you need to use something else? Now, we've talked a lot about a backer rod, which is basically just a roll of foam that could be quarter inch, half inch, three quarter inch, 1 inch, and whatever you need that you force it down into the crack, and then you can, it provides a little bit of non-rotting type of filler so that you can put your caulk on top. But sometimes, especially if you're talking about this situation, you may have a gap that goes down there 4 or 5 inches, you know, from where it drops off on that brick rowlock. Might be time for a little bit of careful use of some foam. What do you think?
That's exactly what I was thinking. And first of all, I just want to preface my statement here by saying, Roxanne, Danny is not saying you have really big feet and you're trampling, trampling in and out of the house and you're compressing that threshold.
I'm talking about the guys.
So it's not you. I was thinking the same thing, man. Take a little spray foam. You know, it's, a lot of people know it as by the name Great Stuff. And you want to use minimal expanding foam. Sometimes it's called window and door foam. It doesn't expand as much as the original type because you don't want to be, you know, have this thing pushing the threshold up so you can't close the door. In fact, what I would recommend is spray a little in there, close the door, and, you know, close the door and lock it so no one's coming and going for at least 5 or 10 minutes. And this way, if it does expand up a little bit, the door might prevent that from happening. And if you don't really see underneath there, if it's not highly visible, then the foam itself, you know, when it squeezes out, you can just cut it off and it might be good enough. As long as you don't see it, who cares? If it squeezes out, cut it away. And then if you want to put in backer rod and caulking, then that would probably be okay. But yeah, I think the expanding spray foam would be the way to go.
And I'll tell you what, I would recommend using a latex type. Now, the Great Stuff's been around a long time. It is very good material, but man, if you get that on your finger, you're going to be cutting your finger off because you're not, it's going to be really hard to get it off. But, or you know, you can, one of the other things, it could be a simple solution. You get something on your hands like that. You take your belt sander and you turn it over. and just rub your fingers all over it, and that takes care of your fingerprints, and that takes care of anything that you
have. They'll never track you down.
It might take a Band-Aid or two after that, but no, let's don't do that. You can't.
Always wear latex, thin latex gloves when you're applying that. Just like the same thing I tell people, whenever you're using that crazy glue stuff, even if you think you're never going to get it on your hands, I would almost always get it on my hands.
You know? I've
glued many a rubber glove to whatever I was holding, but that's much better than your skin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no doubt about it, and you know, the different types of glues that are out there. Of course, I use a lot of the two-part epoxy. It's amazing how many things that you can use. I actually bought a couple little bottles of that. I guess those things stand about 3 inches tall. And, man, I bet I have used that 50 times. And
you need very little. Yeah.
The cap must really be good on these things because, you know, they cap off real good. However, I assume without them mixing together, maybe it's not a big deal for it to get a little air in it because...
Because
the one activates the other. But anyway, that hopefully helped Roxanne on solving that problem at her door.
Since 1982, Exmark has been dedicated to building the world's finest mowers. These machines provide you with a quality of cut that seems impossible, dependability you can measure in lifetimes, and an operator experience like none other. Because Exmark believes if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Visit Exmark.com to discover a one-of-a-kind ownership experience and see the difference for yourself.
Looking for an easy DIY project to transform your concrete patio steps or walkway? Check out Roller Rock from Deitch Coatings. Just roll on this tough, decorative, textured concrete coating. It's made from real stone. This is a pre-mixed, self-priming formula. Best of all, Roller Rock resists water, stains, impact, and abrasion, plus harsh UV rays, heat, and sub-zero winter conditions. Order your 1, 3, or 5 gallon container of Roller Rock today to upgrade your home's exterior. Go to DeitchCoatings.com. That's DeitchCoatings.com.
Hey, I'm Chelsea Lipford Wolf. I'd love for you to check in and see what projects I'm working on in and around my house. All you have to do is type in checkinginwithchelsea.com into your favorite browser. You'll find my weekly blog projects and my feature web show with small, manageable DIY projects aimed at making your home your own. And if that's not enough Chelsea for you, find me on Instagram and Facebook for behind-the-scenes updates of what I'm working on when I'm not on Today's Homeowner TV. Again, that's checkinginwithchelsea.com. Brought to you by TiteBond.
Retractable screen doors are all about the view and convenience. That's why Wizard Screens made the VistaView retractable screen door, the most sleek and convenient screen door on the market. The VistaView screen allows you to easily and safely stop your screen across any size door. No more noisy slam back to disturb your peace and quiet. Experience the magic of retractable screens with Wizard Screens. Check out GetWizardScreens.com to learn more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Installing electrical switches and outlets is time-consuming, even for pros. But Leviton is changing the game with their new Decora Edge line of wiring devices. Just push stripped 14-gauge or 12-gauge wire into a color-coded termination port and close a lever that clicks into place. It's faster, easier, and safer to install. Plus, the connections are all inside the device, so there are no exposed metal parts to worry about. Find out more at Leviton.com/Decora Edge.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lifford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Just a reminder, if you have an email for us, you can send us one at todayshomeowner.com/ask, or the Today's Homeowner hotline is 800-946-4420. Hope you guys had a great Memorial Day weekend and ready for the unofficial start to summertime. And of course, the weather is dictating summer all over the country right now. The temperatures are rising. So a lot of things that you need to think about during this time of the year. And what I would recommend, head over to todayshomeowner.com/four seasons. Check out the spring and summer checklist. Might be a few things on there that might remind you of things that you might need to do, because there's so many things that you can do in a preventative way that will save you a lot of money down the line. Again, that's todayshomeowner.com/four seasons. All right, right now, let's go to another email here. This came in from Kevin in Tennessee. I replaced my old wooden shutters with new plastic ones, and they're not quite as wide as the old ones, and there's a little bit of paint on my bricks. What are the best way to remove the paint off of the bricks? You know, when you think about bricks, Joe, you know, it's they're permanent, they're
yep.
very, very low maintenance, but they're also a little bit like a sponge. So
very porous, yeah.
And especially the mortar around it. So yep, you get a little yep. paint on them like that, you would think, oh, I can just wipe, put a little gas on there, mineral spirits, and it'll come right off. But a lot of times that can be quite a challenge. Of course, normally you don't know whether it's latex or oil.
Right.
You know, the more recent paints, almost everybody's using latex, which makes it a lot easier. But what would be the best approach, you think, with someone? Because you can visualize this. You've got those nice, beautiful, brand new shutters up there, and you've got that little outline here and there. Yeah. What would you recommend that Kevin attack that with?
Yeah, well, the other thing, Danny, is that people often think the first thing to do is, because bricks are so hard and tough, is I'll just take a wire brush and just scrub off the paint. Well,
no,
they're not
no, no.
that, yeah, they're not that hard. I mean, they're hard if someone bangs you on the head with a brick, but they're really not that hard. And you can take the finish off and change the texture of it, and you can scratch them up. So don't do that, whatever you do. And since Kevin's talking about very little paint, I suspect, you know, it's just around the outside of these, where the old shutter outline used to be, I would use like a citrus strip, which we've talked about in the past, or any citrus-based paint stripper. It's thick enough that you can apply it to the wall. It won't run down the wall. And if it needs to set for a while, cover it with some super thin plastic, just stick, even just like saran wrap, just stick it to it so it doesn't evaporate as quickly. And then use a stiff bristle nylon brush. I think that's what I would do. And then wash down the area when you're done. I don't think he's repainting anything. I think the brick is plain, right? Just bare brick. So I think that's what I would do. Gougon also makes, they make a great line of products.
And the good news is you can use very, very little. You don't have to use a whole lot of it in order to accomplish the goals. So, you know, just give that a try. And if that doesn't work, try one of the other types that are similar to that. You'll find one that really works very well for you.
Hey, Danny, I wanted to touch base on two solutions for questions we had recently. One was we had a caller, I think it was last week, who had seen a simple solution I'd shot on how to empty oil from a lawnmower, a push lawnmower, how to neatly do that without spilling it all over the place. And her question was, well, how do I get the gasoline out and do I even need to do that? And I saw online this really cool tool. I think it's a new tool, at least new to me. It's called a safety siphon, which is the generic term. And essentially like a 5 or 6 foot long hose. And on one end of it, it has a fitting that is essentially a tiny siphon pump. You just put it in, like let's say you're pumping gas out of a tank of a lawnmower. You put it in the tank and you just shake it up and down, and what it's doing, it's priming that little pump and it's forcing the, in this case, the gasoline. It could work in with any liquid. It forces the gasoline up until it reaches the curve, and when it starts going down, it just draws it out. So there's no pumping by hand. You just push this in and out, and it automatically, it's a self-priming siphon pump, essentially. And they're pretty cheap, like from, I think I saw them like $12 to $14 or something like that. So check that out. And then the other one is a simple solution that I have not shot, but I really would love to, that I actually found in a problem with my own house last summer. And earlier this spring, we had a couple of callers that said the garage door opener stopped working. And they discovered it stopped working when it was really sunny out. And the sunlight has UV rays, and it interferes with the UV ray of the invisible light that goes across. So what you need to do, and what I did is I had some plastic pipe that was just the right diameter, about 1 inch diameter, cut it about 4 inches long. I just slipped it over the electric eye on each side of the garage door. That provides just enough shade and prevents the sunlight from triggering that safety device. Because it would open the door, but when I went to close the door, it would go down like a foot and go back up. Go down a foot. Get out of the car, you know, and mess around. So that's what you do.
Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We got a lot more information coming up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Last-minute trips to the store can prolong a simple project, like fixing a leaky toilet, wasting time and money. Fluid Master is on a mission to fix that with the Everything Toilet Tank Repair Kit. It includes all the necessary components to fix any and everything inside your toilet tank, even specially designed tools to simplify the job. So stop flushing money down the drain. Fix it without frustration with the Everything Toilet Tank Repair Kit from Fluid Master. Pick up yours at your local home improvement store or visit shop.fluidmaster.com.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
At the Home Depot, we take Father's Day seriously. Why not get doing and give Dad a gift card that gets him out of the house and into new projects? Because the dads who do the most deserve the most, whether he's into woodworking, yard work, or grilling up something for the family. A Home Depot gift card gives your dad the power to get everything he needs to keep doing the most. Shop today for a gift that powers dad. At the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
And up on deck is Joe Truini, pitch hitter for the New York Yankees, with yet another simple solution. It's baseball time, Joe, so I had to work something in like that.
You don't have to tell me that. I've been watching every day. It's one thing I love about baseball season. There's a game every night. Even if your team's not playing, pretty much everybody else is. So, yeah, it's a great time of year. Okay, Danny, here's a simple solution with yet another pool noodle idea.
All right.
And here is an effective and incredibly affordable way to insulate copper water pipes. Now, they do make, you know, pipe insulation. You may have seen them at hardware stores and home centers. They're usually black foam rubber. It's kind of length, almost looks like a long hose. They usually are 5 to 6 feet long. And they have a slit on one side, and you slip it over the pipe. Works great. In fact, I installed quite a few of those. But I had several more lengths of pipe. I first insulated all the hot water ones, then I started insulating the cold water ones. But in any case, I discovered that if I had a pool noodle that I hadn't cut up for use for other simple solutions, so I slid it lengthwise and I slipped it onto the pipe, and it cost $1 for a pool noodle, where the rubber pipe insulation costs, you buy between like $9 and $12 each.
Is that right?
So for $1, I covered, I think they're pool noodles are what, 5 feet long, whatever they are.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And they slip right on. They're much thicker, so they insulate really well. And the reason, by the way, that I insulate the cold water is because it's in the basement. In the summer, when it's humid in the basement, condensation forms on the cold water, of course. The condensation builds up and it drips. And then, you know, drips into the basement. Sometimes it drips on my tool, on my workbench. So anyway, I insulate the cold water as well. And when you put these on, always put them with the slit facing up. So if there is any condensation, of course, it doesn't drip out. But in any case, so that's a way to insulate copper pipes with pool noodles.
And a lot more attractive than the old gray or brown one. You got a little rainbow stuff going on down there. And to save that much money, because when you were saying it, I was thinking to myself, I wonder what the cost, you know, difference is there.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. That's a significant savings. Very practical on that, because, you know, when insulating pipes is kind of misunderstood, people think of it as just simply a way to keep your pipes from freezing. And yes, it is very effective for that, but it also is very effective to maintain the heat in those hot water lines,
particularly
all year long. So it's saving you money, and when you're only paying $1 a noodle, then that's pretty good.
That is, and you're saving water too, of course, because if you turn on the hot water and you have to wait for cold water to run through the pipes first before you get the really hot water. In this case, if you insulate them all, the water doesn't stay hot, but it stays warm. So at least you're a little closer to getting hot water out.
Exactly right. And remember, you can always go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions and be able to view more than 550 of these great pieces of information that provide you some very good practical solutions for some of the things you might be facing around your home. Also want to remind you what you can see on this week's episode of Today's Homeowner Television Show. It's called A Cozy Kitchen. Very small kitchen, but we certainly made it more efficient with a number of things that we altered on the cabinets, as well as replaced the countertops with very popular butcher block countertop, which is really one of the least expensive countertops that are available since the home center started carrying these slabs of countertop ready to install. Just have to cut them here and there a little bit, and amazing. We've done a number of projects on it. Always a very positive thing. You'll see in this episode how we removed the existing countertop and installed that. And also, you'll be surprised how small of a closet you would need to have one of of the stacked washer and dryers. I was amazed that we could get both of those in this fairly modest closet, but we did it, and it worked very well and solved another problem the homeowner was having there. And again, just go to todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. Now, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you were able to spend a little bit of your time in your busy weekend with us here on the radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for being with us on this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.